This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that didn't go the way we were hoping, now did it? 30-17 final, Eagles over the Redskins week one in the books in Washington, where the Skins offense sputtered. The defense looked improved, but still had some third down issues. And the Redskins were losers in the division at FedEx Field. Welcome in, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Kirk Cousins joins us exclusively today at 11 o'clock. We will dissect the entire performance with him, including that big interception in the red zone that proved costly. Make sure you're listening about 57 minutes from right now when the starting quarterback is live on this show. Quick congratulations to the Washington Nationals.
Yes, man.
This team was losing 100 games a season at one point in time and operating out of trailers in the RFK parking lot. They are the cream of the crop in this city at this moment and wanted to tip our caps to them. We'll get into the Nats in detail at 10:45, so make sure you're listening at that time. But they are the NL East champions.
Think of this. They came into existence in 2005 and were worse off than an expansion team. I say worse off because an expansion team has certain rights and privileges. This was a 30th out of 30 teams owned by Major League Baseball. So the point is, they were digging out of a hole when the Lerners took over. Four of the last 6 years they've won the division. The Redskins have won the division three times since 1991. There's your dichotomy. There is your glaring, jarring, in the face, are you freaking kidding me? One organization doing it well, the other is the Redskins.
The Redskins yesterday couldn't run the ball. Not particularly surprising if you watch the preseason or really any football for this team since Jay Gruden got here. Rob Kelly, 30 yards on 10 attempts. This marked the fourth time in five games and the fifth time in seven games that Rob Kelly has not averaged at least 4 yards per carry. Kirk Cousins was the Redskins' leading rusher yesterday, pulling the ball down and scrambling more than he typically does for a career-best 30 yards. I mentioned the Cousins interception, his lone touchdown to Chris Thompson on him, just a tremendous play by the running back on a 29-yard catch and run, avoiding being tackled as he took a few hits.
That was incredible.
But a lot of the issues in the preseason where you and I said, wonder if this is just because they're not game planning. Wonder if this is just because they're not in sync yet or they don't care as much because the games don't matter. They carried over. Terrell Pryor still can't catch the football. Danny, the first play from scrimmage might have been everything I needed to know yesterday. They dialed up a deep shot to Pryor. I loved the call from Jay Gruden. I loved the idea. I think the throw from Kirk Cousins was good. I think it would have been a catch-and-run touchdown, but Terrell Pryor never found the football. And at that moment, I said, I forgive everything I've ever said about DeSean Jackson, the best ball tracker who's ever lived.
Yeah.
Because that's a touchdown if that guy's still here. And Terrell Pryor apparently found out it was thrown because of crowd noise on a design play you've known was going to be run since Thursday.
You had an idea that it was a possibility you may receive the football as you're streaking past defenders. I mean, good heavens. You're right. That encapsulates an awful lot. The idea that he wasn't aware that this was a possible occurrence.
The first play
of the game,
shot,
as just
if
bizarre.
They didn't know that shot play was coming or that he wasn't a primary target. When you got past everyone and you're streaking free on a deep route toward the end zone on the first play of the season, you should know the ball might be coming. It looked like it was thrown and would have hit him in stride. I refuse to believe that ball wouldn't have been caught if he would have known that it was in the air. Later in the game, and his explanation of this, he had a great press conference after the game with reporters. I was right there a foot from him. And I give him a lot of credit because he answered a lot of tough questions and took a lot of blame. But the one answer that he had that made no sense to me, on a play that wouldn't have counted anyway, so a lot of people say, well, there was a holding, who cares?
I care so much. Catch the ball.
He was wide open in the end zone. Kirk Cousins threw a terrific pass, 50-plus yards in the air. It hit Terrell Pryor in his hands
in
down around his knees. He was doing like almost like an outfielder loafing it and kind of just putting his glove up at the last second type thing. I have no idea. It was like he was deking a defender that wasn't there. I don't know what he was doing.
Just not catching the ball.
I've watched football for 28 years. I have no idea what he was doing. And then after the game, he said, well, it was kind of low. I tried to reach out and get it. Yeah, it was low because you tracked it like an 11-year-old. It was low because you caught it at your knees when I don't know what you were doing. But then people will say, why do you care about that? There was a holding. Did Terrell Pryor put in less effort or try to drop it because of a holding penalty? Because if not, then now I have to worry every time he's open in the end zone for a 50-yard throw, he might drop it. 11 targets, 6 catches. Someone said yesterday, well, he's not going to only catch 55% of passes all year long. Well, that was the exact same ratio he had last year when he caught 70-plus balls for 140 targets. I'm sure it was all because of the quarterbacks then, too. Cousins was not sharp. I get it. Pass protection is worse. Bad. Receiving play is worse. I'm a little bit worried about this offense.
I had everything that I thought confirmed.
Sean McVay's Rams hung almost 50 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a couple of defensive touchdowns in there. But the
that's
Rams,
Wade Phillips' defense, by the way. I wish I had one of those.
The Rams scored over 40 points yesterday, and Jared Goff looked like a legitimate NFL quarterback.
Coming into the season, here is what I said. They got a little bit better on defense, but not good enough to make a real difference. So the problems that we saw last year, third and long, nothing else matters when we talk about the defense. Third and long, still a disaster. They can't get off the field. Third and long, third and long, third and long. It's going to kill me. I'm going to have a heart issue. It's going to be third and long. It'll be tattooed on my chest. That's my epitaph. That's what my tombstone's going to say. Third and long. Oh, my God. Nothing else matters. I'm so pissed off about it.
You want to hear what some of the conversions were on third and long?
I know them, but read them to the folks.
Do you want them or do you not want them?
No, I want everyone to remember. I want everyone to remember when they start talking about other things about the defense, this. Read this.
Third and 12, 58-yard touchdown. Third and 7, third and 10, third and 10, third and 10. There were 8 of them on 14 tries, by the way. That's just some of the best of hits of the Eagles' third down offense yesterday.
At one point, Philly was 8 for 12, by the way. It wasn't until the end of the game when the last two, they got in a third down funk when they backed up and had a third and 23 and they just handed it off.
What happens if Stacy McGee doesn't tip that pass that Ryan Kerrigan returns for an interception touchdown? Pick 6, third pick of his career, third touchdown of his career, all at FedEx Field, first since 2012. But that made it, at the time, a 13-7 game. The Redskins would soon take a 14-13 lead. They actually got a little momentum going.
Cousins had
a couple clinical, old-school, last couple years Cousins drives where he's dinking and dunking down the field. They had a 16-play drive, 7 plays for 50 yards. The pick was at the tail end of those two drives and kind of ruined everything.
6 of those 8 third-down conversions were of over 7 yards. So, again, I don't want to hear about an improved defense. You see me on an email when they can get off the field league average on third and long, when they're just normal and competent. What should happen is what happened to the Redskins' offense, which is when you had an average third down to go of over 8 yards because they can't freaking run the ball at all, and you go 3 for 11. That's what it's supposed to look like in the NFL. Third down and long, you feast. It's a joyous time for defenders. Frothing at the mouth, blood from their lips and gums because they're just biting because they can't wait to get after the quarterback and have joyous sack dances and fun times. That's not what it looks like for the Redskins defense. Now to that offense. Everybody is underestimating this. This is what's going to happen. The receivers are nowhere near as good. They're going to miss Sean McVay a ton. It's just sort of, we've got it. We've got it all under control. We don't need to do anything in the preseason. I'm Jay. I got this all locked down, guys. It's the same offense. I don't know, name that Kavanaugh's your quarterback coach. Now he's the offensive coordinator. Anybody got some confidence inspired by that offense that managed 10 points against the Eagles? Coming into the season, coming into this game, I said they'll lose 27-16. Offense will sputter and then maybe get something going later. Well, they really did. 3 second-half points. They had 2 first downs in the first quarter. This is a group.
0 for 2 in the red zone again.
0 for 2 in the red zone. The problems are still the problems. The things that plagued them last year, third and long on defense and on offense, red zone, and slow starts. It's the same recipe for a group that's got a more difficult schedule. They are on a terrible path.
I'm a track record guy, and I'm a body of work guy. So there are certain things that happened yesterday that I look at, and I go, well, I don't worry about that all season long. Kirk Cousins in week one last year against Pittsburgh didn't play particularly well either. I mean, he is, for whatever reason, a little bit of a slow starter. We see it in baseball where guys don't have great Aprils. It seems to me like he, as he throws more, is more in rhythm, plays better as the year goes along. I don't particularly worry about Kirk Cousins. But I am worried about this wide receiving group. I am worried that Josh Doctson can't get on the field. Jay Gruden, that's unacceptable and it's malpractice. Please play him this second right now. Send him out to the field on a day where you're not practicing and get him ready for Sunday against the Rams. Because if he's not on the field, you're a worse offense. Terrell Pryor's overrated. He just is. Sorry, that's a fact. He is. I keep reading all these feature stories about how great he is. He's telling Chris Russell to stop asking him about being a developing receiver because that's an old story, bro. Catch
the
damn football.
Catch the ball.
He bristled at me yesterday when I asked him. I said, do you think you had a... He was walking out of the locker room. And again, he had a great press conference. Was a true pro, and I commend him for that. Answered a lot of tough questions. But I grabbed him. I said, hey, Terrell. He said, what's up, man? I said, was that a pass interference in the end zone on you? I think he got interfered with on that jump ball that Kirk Cousins threw him right before they had to settle for a field goal. It was a very clear, obvious pass interference. There's no doubt in my mind. He said, yeah, definitely that was pass interference. I said, yeah. And I just said, I noticed you didn't really put up a fight with the referees. I guess I don't know what that would have done. He like looked at me like he was like disgusted by me and like walked away. Like, I'm disgusted by you dropping the ball, so now we're even. How about that?
Yeah, we can call it a draw.
You can be disgusted by me saying that you should have argued with the official about the PI. I'll be disgusted by your inability to catch football.
Well, here's what I am worried about. Because everything you're saying is correct, by the way, about the receivers. This Josh Doxson situation has me apoplectic, and I want to do that all week long. Stop the nonsense. Stop this Ryan Griffin.
We should just create a chime where we talk about Josh Doxson not being able to play when he's the best receiver on the roster, and you can't make any plays on the outside, and he's watching. And by the way, Ryan Grant yesterday, career high 61 yards.
Good for him.
Actually very good. Ryan Grant caught 4 balls, 1 leaping catch on the sideline. He was great. He's still not as good as Josh Doxson. On his best day, and Doxson's worse, it's still not as good.
So here's where my concern lies. It lies then by transitivity with Cousins, because we have seen Kirk Cousins operate in a system where he's comfortable, put up very good numbers, and be well above average, top half of the league, with good weapons. You've now taken 2 of those weapons away,
right,
that are very dependable. That's why I'm worried about Cousins.
Well, their pass protection, I don't know how, because it's the same guys, has gotten worse.
Yeah, on a 5-step drop, by the way, where you don't anticipate contact, you get Morgan Moses turnstiles actually put up more resistance. Rusty ones put up more resistance than Moses did yesterday. I don't know if he's hurt. I mean, I suppose that he was. If so, Ty Insecki is here for a reason.
Yeah.
I just don't know what we're doing.
I don't need a hero in week one. Ty Insecki can play. He was playing through a lot of pain. Jay Gruden mentioned it after the game. Moses did not play well through injury, and hopefully he'll be okay to go against the Rams. But if not, if he's not 100%, play Insecki. That's why you kept the guy. He can actually play in the league. Sean LaVal at one point yesterday got beat like a drum. Trent Williams let someone come completely free off the edge, to the point where Kirk got in his ear hole and shouted at him after a play to be like, dude,
you missed the protection.
What are you doing?
Trent's looking right. The guy rolls right up and drills Kirk. Kirk was very poor yesterday. I really believe that. But everybody was bad. This whole offense was bad. And just the idea that we're overreacting when they don't play well in the preseason. We're told to calm down. No, be ready for an opener.
Well,
us and the Cleveland Browns. That's who the company we keep with these season openers and how bad they've been at the start of seasons.
The bristling at being upset about the preseason always annoys me when it carries over. Like when Pryor was real short with reporters this week, y'all are talking about the preseason. Sounded like Allen Iverson talking about practice. Well, now we're talking about week one.
Achieve immediately.
800.
Achieve immediately and stop bristling at people. Catch the ball.
Let's go game balls and gassers next. The best achievers from yesterday get game balls. The worst get gassers. Who was good? Who was bad? You can go coaches, players. Phone line's wide open for you. Let's react. You guys were there. You watched the game. 800-636-1067. Cousins live at 11 on Grant and Danny.
Hi, guys. Danny Ruye here for my friends at Ted Britt Ford. I'm mad about the Redskins game yesterday. I am. I'm ticked off. I'm irritated. I'm sad. I'm hating. But I'll tell you this. I'm very pleased about the ride I got from Ted Britt Ford. I got a Ford Fusion. It's parked downstairs, charging up right now. It is awesome. I filled the gas tank once. It's when I drove to the Outer Banks and back. Think about that. You could have a car where you don't have to stop for gas. You could smirk and laugh and like the Philadelphia Eagles did to the Washington Redskins. You could have sideline laughter at people that are getting gas as you zip on by on your daily commute. Right now is a good time to go, too. Labor Day sale extended, 0% financing for 72 months on the F-150, the Explorer, the Escape, all great rides. Plus, this is something that I love that Ted Britt Ford does. In addition to Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage on new pre-owned vehicles less than 100,000 miles, this is something that's awesome. You receive an additional $1,000 cash for your trade. All current and former military and first responders and families will get an extra $1,000 on top of that. How about that from Ted Britt Ford? Taking care of the people that take care of us. I love it. Go see my guys in Fairfax or Chantilly. And when you go, tell them Danny sent you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.